Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Soft Rep Radio. I am your host, Rad, and today I have a very special guest. But first, before I introduce him, I need to remind you to go check out our book club, okay? Softrep.com/book-club or similar. Look up the book club for softrep.com. You like to read, you like to get those books. We'll send them out to you. We got thousands of books in our library. And I also got to say, you know, I am wearing a Soft Rep shirt. And so you can get the merch at softrep.com. Support us so we can keep bringing on guests like former Lieutenant Colonel Jim Lorraine, United States Air Force combat nurse who served 22 years, deployed about 9 times. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Red. Good to talk to you.
I'm glad that you guys would like to be on here. We're going to talk to you about caregiving and what it's like to be a caregiver in today's veterans system, VA. I've recently had the former deputy commander of the VA on, and we talked about the long hallways and caregivers who are getting older because the younger veterans don't dare go into the hospital who can navigate the hallways at a younger age. And now you have caregivers. You could correct me, like, you know, watching my mom take care of my dad. Right. He was the Green Beret. He was the marathon runner. My mom was the mom and took care of us. She turned into that Green Beret marathon runner, pushing him and wheeling him and escorting him and the whole nine yards. And I know this episode is going to be talking about caregiving. And I know you're a caregiver. Again, welcome to the show. So what do you think?
No, I agree. Who was the deputy?
Oh, geez. Major General. Excuse me. Awesome guy. Dude, surfer, dude. Let me think. He's going to be teaching surfing for recreational therapy because he had, we agreed that no matter your rating, you should be able to get like a, you know, recreational therapy prescription versus like, here's a bunch of pills first, pharmaceuticals, if you will. And so, oh man, you're calling me on the spot. I'll find his name in just a minute.
Sorry about that. I'm just curious.
it was just talked to him the other day. I'll find it. But again,
no problem.
Again, this episode is about caregivers, and you know, prior to you becoming this quote unquote caregiver, you were in high school, right?
I was in high school. Graduated. I fortunately made it out of high school. My mother, I graduated at a time where unemployment rates were through the roof. My family are all nurses. She said, "You're going to be a nurse. You can always get a job. That's what you need to go to school for." So I did. I graduated from Syracuse University as a nurse, and then had always wanted to go into the military. Joined the reserves 2 years into my college in a medical unit, and then graduated with my nursing degree, and then went active duty. And then all my sights were set on being a flight nurse. And so I did 4 years in Keesler Air Force Base down in Biloxi, mm-hmm. in a medical center, and then went into air medical evacuation, flew all over Europe, all over Africa, the Middle East, flying air medical evacuation, ended up in Desert Shield Storm for that period of time, and then up in Provide Comfort, and then left that unit and then went to another air medical unit at Pope Air Force Base. And at Pope, we went to, I spent some time in Haiti. I spent some time in South America, South and Central America mostly. And then ended up in Mogadishu. Mm-hmm. And then Mogadishu, spent a lot of time there.
What year was that roughly in Mogadishu?
Mog was the winter of, in December of 92. And then I left in 93. And then from that experience and from that time there, Special Operations needed people that knew long-range air medical evacuation and were comfortable with it, which I was. I went, so I got assigned to as an augmentee to JSOC. I went on from there, and I did tours at Air Mobility Command, running the air medical evacuation program. And then I had a great gig at the Pentagon at the Joint Staff. I was a fellow to the chairman. And then I went right back into SOCOM. So in September of 2000, I ended up at United States Special Operations Command down at Tampa. And I'll never forget, General Schumacher was the commander, and he got everybody was new. He said, "Hey, this is an opportunity to take a knee, stay with, do things with your family, catch a breath, because once you get done with this tour, you're going to go back into being active in the special operations community." Anyways, long story short.
No.
That ended on September 11th, 2001, as we were sitting in the operations center watching the planes hit the towers and hit the Pentagon. That afternoon, I went from SOCOM, I went over to SOCCENT and started the planning for what would be Operation Enduring Freedom. I retired out of SOCOM. I did, during all those times, I did tours and augmentee tours into Iraq and Afghanistan. Talking about Afghanistan, I have to just divert. When I was at, and it's all unclassified now, but back then it was classified. What a lot of people don't know is, you know the movie Charlie Wilson's War?
Sure.
Yeah. So there was a humanitarian side of it. And the humanitarian side was, and this, by the way, Rad, will connect back to 9/11. The humanitarian side was that the Americans were bringing out the wounded Mujahideen and their kids. At the time, in the late 80s, late 80s, after 87, the Russians were using booby traps that looked like toys and candy and things, and the kids were picking them up, and they were losing their hands, and they were losing their eyesight. And
small little wounds that just caused massive, just gross, against Geneva Convention style objects, right? Like baby children, right? Let's just be clear. Yeah.
No, it was targeted towards kids. And
yes.
And so these kids, what we would do is we'd evacuate them out of Afghanistan and bring them back to Europe. And they'd go to some European hospitals, but most of them would go back to the United States and go to great hospitals like Walter Reed and Bethesda and out to Fort Sam and out to Brooke Army Medical Center.
Medical
and
Plaza
then other,
in San Antonio.
Other civilian places.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, what happened was, so they would spend months in the United States. And then they would go back. They had to go back to Afghanistan. They went back. Things all changed. But now flash ahead. So that was in, let's say, late 80s. Now flash ahead to 2001. And these same kids, now these kids were adults.
Right.
and they'd all been treated for their wounds and their injuries in U.S. hospitals, and the United States had taken care of them. And I think that was the predominantly the Northern Alliance that helped us, obviously, you know, big humanitarian. It's not about, you know, we're not going to kill our way out of a war, but I mean, if we can help people, then yeah. Later on we can help. But so anyways, the long story short is I end up doing multiple deployments while I was at SOCOM, and I retired in 2005 as the deputy surgeon at United States Special Operations Command. So I, you know, typical in that day and age, so it was 05, we were honestly thinking that the war was winding down for special operations. But the problem was we had so many wounded, ill, or injured. And the commander at SOCOM, General Doug Brown, wanted to make sure that we, as SOCOM, had kept our promise to those who were wounded, ill, or injured, and their families. So he founded a program called the U.S. SOCOM Care Coalition. And what the Care Coalition did was we built a relationship with everybody who, all SOF, who were wounded, ill, or injured, and their families. And then we made sure that they were connected to resources that improved their quality of life. And the commitment was for life. So I ran that from 2005 until I left in 2011. Had huge success with it, but I left in 11 because my wife, who was active duty at the time, and she was the lead for the SOCOM, the Special Operations Command Clinic.
Okay.
And so she's a nurse practitioner by trade. And I was working in the Pentagon. I was working for Admiral Mullen. And I got a phone call that said, hey, you know, your wife, we found her down. We're not sure what's up. And we think she's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I got back from the Pentagon that night to find out the diagnosis was adult onset epilepsy. And mm-hmm. I say that because my wife is a badass.
Yeah.
She graduated from high school, went to a year of college and said, I'm going to enlist. And when she went to enlist, this was in 76, she enlisted. She came in as a private. Then she went on to, when she was at basic training, they said, does anybody want to go to jump school? And she said, yeah, I'll go to jump school. And she got reassigned as an intel analyst. She went to Fort Huachuca. And then her first assignment, you'll appreciate this with your dad's background. Her first assignment was she was one of the first women to go to 7th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg. And she worked there as an intel analyst, doing a ton of work and jumping. So she did that. She got married, had her kids. And then, so I'll give you the story of my wife. My wife has the kids, gets out of school or says, hey, I want to go back and become a nurse. She gets her associate degree, her bachelor's degree, and her master's degree. And she's a nurse practitioner, but that's not enough. And so she joined the reserves, ran her clinic during the weekday, and then did the reserve time on the weekend, did multiple deployments. We knew each other in Desert Shield Storm.
Sure.
And then we got married later on.
You guys know each other's schedules and kind of like, you know, mindsets. And, you know,
yeah.
You probably told her the story about how your mom said, you know, if you be a nurse, you could do anything.
Oh, she knew. Yeah. My mom told her that.
Yeah. And here you are. Look at all the jobs you've done. Listening to your
great
mom.
Opportunity. Exactly. Well, I would never have had the opportunity, but I also, you know, this goes around to becoming a caregiver. I had a unique opportunity to be a caregiver because as a nurse, I'm a caregiver to begin with. My specialty is critical care, but it wasn't, taking care of your family wasn't the same. So Rad, what I'm telling you is I went through my whole career taking care of people and the medical side of things. So I've always been a caregiver, but when it's your family, it's different. And so I had been a medical nurse. I've been the deputy surgeon. And then I ran this program that advocated for, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 of the most severely wounded, ill or injured that were Special Operations Command. And then when it becomes your family, I had no clue where to go or what to do. I was almost frozen. My wife had to go through a medical board and had to go through the administrative process that everybody in medicine that has a medical problem in the military goes through. And she would say, why can't you help me more? And I said, I'm not sure what I need to do. And I would connect her to other people. And she said, why isn't it that you can't do it? And I could do some things. I just didn't have the authority to do some of the other stuff. She found her way through it. It wasn't easy. It was really, you know, one of the things that we find with especially military is that if you don't leave on your own terms, it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. And she was being forced out of the military, not on her own terms. Mm-hmm. She was forced out of the military because of a medical condition that we think and the physicians think is tied back to her airborne status mm-hmm. and to a number of head injuries that she had while in airborne status.
Traumatic brain injuries, TBIs.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing back then. Mm. It wasn't a thing in the 70s, obviously, and in the early 80s. But she went through it, and she got – so what happened was she was medically retired well before her career was expected to end. She lost the ability to drive even while she was going through the process. She didn't want to give up her clinic. So she would ride her bike one way, 6 miles to the bus stop, take a bus an hour and a half into Tampa, into MacDill Air Force Base, run the clinic, get back on the bus in the evening, and head home, and then ride her bike 6 miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did that. Mm-hmm. However, it took a toll on her. And it kept getting worse and worse where she had to stop. So we moved home. We moved to near her parents, and she developed an aggressive form of breast cancer. When you think about chemotherapy and the anti-epileptic drugs and all the contraindications that go with it, it's just, it was more than, so I left my job at SOCOM. When she developed epilepsy, I left my job working for Admiral Mullen as the chairman and focused on SOCOM. When she developed triple negative breast cancer, I left and came home to take care of her.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that as America's Warrior Partnership, we do these studies, we do annual surveys every year about veterans. And what we find is that veterans who have lack of transportation have the lowest level of hope. So what that means is we measure hope. And what we also do is we ask, what are you seeking? And the majority of veterans who are hopeless are seeking transportation. Now, when you look at my wife, she lost the ability to drive, and she didn't have the ability to drive herself around and have mobility.
Right.
She was down. She was like, I, this is crazy. I don't want to do this. I can't go anywhere. I have no independence. She's done really well, but you know, I know I'm here to talk about being a caregiver.
Yeah.
But compared to other people that I've taken care of at the Care Coalition who are truly caregivers. I have a friend who is a young wife. Her husband, they were newly married. Her husband was in the third Ranger Battalion. His helicopter crashed and he's had a terrible head injury, but he's been in a persistent coma since then.
Yeah.
That was in 2004. Man. He's still alive. She takes care of him every day. She has given up everything.
Dedicated.
To take care of him.
Yes.
Oh, and so I know her closely because I advocate for her when it comes to VA services. And that she keeps getting jerked around. It was funny. She called me and said, Jim, the VA just told me that I'm not getting my caregiver stipend.
Right.
I'm the poster child on the cover of their caregiver magazine.
Right.
This is crazy.
Right. Yeah, no, 100%. I have a friend, double amputee, and his wife just got that allocated to her. I was like, is that going to go back pay from when you guys first started? You know, I'm like, holy cow, because that happened to him in like 2008. And here we are, 2023. And
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
But to go with the epilepsy, I'll tell you that my father had the same thing your wife had happen. He was taking a shower, and then my mom just heard something going commotion in the bathroom, and he was white, ghost. She didn't know what to do. She called 911. He had had a grand mal just right there, but they attribute it to his jumping out of an airplane and being dropped at night on the side of a mountain that was at altitude, but they were above the mountain on an angle. And so they didn't know that the ground was closer. So
that's tough.
So they dropped all these guys on an angle, broken pelvises, feet, femur, head injury. He hit his head real hard, but he kept going till the 90s, until that happened. And then again, mom took over that same role that you've taken on to help your wife. What's your wife's name again? It's
Becky.
Becky. Let's give her a shout out. What's up, Becky? Thanks for your proud service and your mountain biking to the clinic, okay? What's
up? That's right.
Okay? PT's good for you. Can't get enough. And airborne all the way to you as well, okay? So today they do track TBIs, and they do have documents about, you know, sitting inside of a small vehicle with night vision just burning into your eyes for long periods of time, and then what does that do to you over a 90-day mission of doing that every single night, you know? And so the VA is very redundant. And to go back to the VA real quick, it was Dr. Richard Stone.
Dr. Stone. Yeah.
He was commander of the whole VA. I was really happy to speak with him.
Of the healthcare. Yeah. The healthcare administration director. Yeah,
that's right. And I asked him the same kinds of questions, like, but this one I didn't ask him. It's like, why is it always a rejection and then it's accepted? It's like, oh, you're 40% rated. Okay, well, you know, I should be 100% rated or 80% rated, and so it's just 40, and then you submit again, and they're like, okay, we'll make you 60, and then you submit again, and they finally put you at 100 because you hit 60. It's like, why is this back and forth, do you think, always?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think the VA has to be have their checks and balances and whatnot, but I mean, when you look at the amount of funds and the amount of funds that a caregiver is going to save the government, which your mom kept your dad from having to go to long-term care, from probably having to have other medical issues that would have 100% had to be addressed. But I mean, when you look at the offset, you know, caregivers are saving the federal government a ton of money. So it's, if you look at it from a monetary side, it doesn't make any sense. When you look at it from what's right, what's the right thing to do, it makes sense. You've got to do the right thing. And, you know, and I'll just talk briefly about the caregiver. It shouldn't be that your husband or your wife were it was a combat related injury. It shouldn't be that, oh, it happened during a time of war, therefore we're going to take care of you. It should be, if you were injured on a training jump, you qualify. If it's related to a toxic exposure, or if it's related to the unseen wounds, whether it's PTSD or depression, you should
training
be,
environment. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I had a guy the other day saying, you know, he was talking about the credibility of someone. And they said, he goes, they were a wrecker operator in the Marines. And I said, listen, that guy, he was a wrecker operator in the Marines, but he would go out into the field and pick up the vehicles that had been destroyed by IEDs. And he'd have to clean them out. And that, you can't take that away from your mind. And I said, you can't. The other example is at SOCOM, we used to have guys who were running predators and running drones, and they were running ISR. And they'd watch for weeks at a time a target and almost build a relationship with them. And then, but they were the bad guy, and they were doing really bad things. And they got to know them. And then you'd have to eliminate them. That is tough to walk away from, tough to keep going. You have to walk away and say, okay. But so anyways, my point is, it's really hard to have concrete guidelines when war is nothing close to concrete.
No.
And, you know, anyways, I would say that about your friend, and about that people shouldn't, it should be, do they need help? Like, my wife and I, we're doing fine, and she's doing better, much better now. So we don't necessarily need, I don't need caregiver support. But my point is that there are people who do, and they, if they do, they should get it. And to Dr. Stone's point, they should get it.
Right, like the outpatient.
It shouldn't be a back and
right,
forth.
Right, like the outpatient visits that are out there where they can talk to, go to them, yeah. Or these virtual sessions that they can have, you know, to reach the patient at home now, where before it was like you have to go down those long hallways mm-hmm. to get care. And, of course, Dr. Stone, he was saying, yeah. You know, some VAs are starting to step it up and become more modernized, where you get out of the parking garage and then you're already at, like, neurology. You know, you're already at these different, you know, places you need to go versus these long Utah. See, I'm in Utah, so we have that long VA system mm-hmm. here. And there's others around the country. And, you know, if you've been to one, mm-hmm. it's a mile long. You can yeah. run. Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah,
I would also say, Rad, you know, and this goes to caregivers too. This is a caregiver issue, but it's a veteran issue. You know, the Mission Act was passed. We haven't fully implemented it. You know, we have a program. America's Warrior Partnership has a program in the Permian Basin called the Permian Warrior Partnership. And mm-hmm. if you've ever been out in West Texas, Midland, Odessa area, you know, the VA's got a CBOC there. They're about 2 hours away from a major medical center. And if they really need to get care, they've got to go to Dallas, which is about a 4-hour drive. There is a ton of medical capacity in Midland, Texas, Midland and Odessa. And my point is, my caregiver should just be able to drive me 20 minutes down the road and go see a civilian provider mm-hmm. and the VA pays for it.
Yeah.
And then I see that. So one of the things that we get, and this goes to caregivers too. So everyone talks about distance and duration, right? How far do I have to go and how long do I have to wait for an appointment? And I think there needs to be another factor. And Brad, this is the first time that I'll speak publicly about it. I think the other factor that we need to consider is continuity, right? So if you go to your same provider for the last 10 years and you walk in and that provider sees you, they're going to say, you know what? Something's not right, Jim. I've seen you for 10 years and you don't look like this. Something's not going on.
Right.
But if I have never seen that person before, it's a new meeting every time.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, go ahead.
It's rehashing it too. I mean, agreed. Because at the VA here, it's a clinic, it's a student facility for training doctors. And my dad would have to have heart issues and stents, 5 different stents put into his thighs and whatnot, all from a different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, and I think it at least have the primary care have continuity.
Right.
And then if you have specialty care, you know, one of the issues that my wife faced when we moved to Augusta, Georgia, and she did a really good job of balancing. So because we live near Augusta, we had Eisenhower Army Medical Center, which was at Fort Gordon. We had a 2-campus VA, big VA hospital in Augusta. And then we were fortunately TRICARE and she was Medicare. So she had the choice of going downtown. Well, she would have 3 or 4 different providers for the same thing. And she would have to orchestrate and coordinate amongst them. And I would help her. We would all work together. It shouldn't be that way. She should have been able to go to the same provider who was the expert.
Right.
Yeah. And they took the lead. Anyways, it's crazy.
I just don't understand that either, and I get costs and cuts, but I don't get costs and cuts to this aspect of population as Americans, right? You can maybe cut other things, like, I don't know, but just not this. And I hear about it right now, chattering. They're like trying to cut, you know, outpatient visit money from spending bills and all these things in Congress. And it's like, you know, you're cutting out the wrong people here, right? These people,
yeah.
Like the mobility aspect. If they can't get out, I'm okay with these delivery services these days, bringing different foods. Like when I was growing up, it was always pizza. I could order a pizza. Okay. Today.
Yeah, now, like, you can get everything.
Yeah, yeah, everything's just delivered, right? So, and I'm like, to my daughter, I'm like, where'd you get all these chips? Oh, they were delivered. Chips. I was like, okay, I'm just, you know. So that's a good thing for people who can't get out of the house mm-hmm. to have that, you know, that delivery service. That's what the VA is doing right now for the veterans by going out to visit them and checking on them at their home where they need that help. If they're not able to get, if they're in a rural area and you've got a VA rep driving the VA bus out there to go meet with them, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's a big deal.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
I'll talk about another community we have. It's called the Diné Nazba Partnership, which is just south of you. It's the Navajo Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some great Navajo women that run it and that they lead it locally. They're, you know, everyone talks about during the pandemic, their number one need was firewood because that's what they used to cook and heat their homes. It wasn't internet. It wasn't deliveries, and nobody out right. there is going to deliver anything. So you literally, you know, internet was so far away from their thoughts, it wasn't even a factor. We spent a lot of time and with our partner, Gary Sinise Foundation, making sure that they had firewood. The point is, you know, 40% of veterans live in rural communities.
That's right.
And that means 40% of caregivers live in rural communities. And we've got to figure out a way to make it easier on their life, whether it's VA disability claims that they shouldn't have to submit twice to get right. the answer, just submit it once. It should not be
go through the MEB, medical evaluation board, and then you're going to get denied and go through another MEB, and then you're going to get approved.
So you
from
know
the
all
same
these things.
Beat. Yeah, it's from the yeah. same. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, really, like, it's so close to home for me. That's why I was so excited to have you on the show. And,
yeah.
and I know my listeners always hear my voice. I want them to hear yours. Otherwise, I'd be gushing with you about so many different things that my mom had to learn to become a caregiver was half lawyer, half caregiver, mm-hmm. half mom still, half money. How do we make money while dad's, you know, being raided out? I mean, talk to the church to get food assistance. I mean, I've drank powdered milk and my dad was a Green Beret. And you would think these guys had all-star contracts.
Yeah, exactly. It
but
doesn't work that way.
No, and
it?
He made sure every month his faith, 10%. Every month,
yep.
without any wavering. And I never thought any different of dad or mom for giving their money to what they believed in as their faith. Because I always was provided to, even if it was water and Cheerios, okay, which was my dad told me, that's normal. Look, all these kids eat water and Cheerios these days. Like, I can't Google that. So here I am eating water in my Cheerios. But, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. And so that's what they taught me. And they taught me to take care of people and, you know, never judge a book by its cover. And everybody's unique, you know. And I always thought if you raise your hand and swear to defend the country and off you go and step on yellow dots somewhere, you're good to gold. You're gold. You're good with me, right? You get hurt from there on out, man. You know, it's like training issues happen. People think they can run overnight and they get to boot and they don't run overnight. They tear their body up and they could get hurt third week in. That's still happened on the spot, right? All the way through.
Oh, yeah.
If you get IED'd in a village, you know, the injuries are still there. The person still deals with them and they should still be looked at appropriately and not like you said, oh, he's just a mechanic driver. You know, you just don't know anybody's trials and tribulations.
You don't know what path they've taken, especially nowadays.
No.
Well, what I would say, you know, offer, there's a lot of great caregiver programs that are out there. And I would offer your viewers, if they don't know where to go, there's a lot of options. If they don't know where to go and how to navigate, they can contact America's Warrior Partnership. We have a program called The Network. And I'll talk, you know, in your state, you've got a great director of veteran services for the state. His name's Gary Harder. Great guy. We work closely with Utah. So if anyone called us from Utah, we would then reach back into Utah and say, hey, I've got somebody who needs help. Mm-hmm. Let's both work together to do it. But the point is that there are so many services that are available that most people aren't even aware of. And honestly, Google is great to get an idea, but it's not great in telling you who's credible, right, and who's not.
Right.
And I would offer your viewers, if they want to come to America's Warrior Partnership and go to the network, it's www.americaswarriorpartnership.org, and go to the network and ask for help. We'll help you.
It's a really cool app, and there's a lot. It's really easy to scroll through. And
oh yeah, that's right. You're on the website.
Yeah, I was researching it. You're talking about events coming up. You know, I don't really like to date my episodes, but you know, it's May, it's Mother's Day. If you know, coming up, this will probably go on in about a week or two. But you have an August event coming up that you guys are going to be helping out with in Texas. Yeah. I saw that, and then actually, there's quite a lot of information on the app. And if you just go check out the app, which is the America's Warrior Partnership, which is what I looked up, I just went and did it. And it's like, okay.
And, and what'll happen is you're going to talk to somebody who is an expert at solving veterans issues at the community level, and they're going to listen to you, and then we're going to go forward. But that's what the network does. I'll offer that up to your viewers. The other thing that I would just want to talk about just briefly, if you don't mind, is suicide.
Sure. Yes.
And veteran suicide. And we do a study. It's called Operation Deep Dive. One of the things that I've talked about is that no one's doing a study on caregiver suicide. And there's really not a lot of ways, other than anecdotally, there's not a lot of ways to capture it. But I think that we need to figure out, how do we understand the toll caregiving is taking on our families? Like I said, anecdotally, you hear stories about families who have, you know, whose wives or children take their lives, and they're a caregiver family, but I don't think we quantify it. And, you know, while we're doing veterans at America's Warrior Partnership and National Guard Reserve and veterans and those who served, and trying to understand more about their suicide rate and suicide patterns, I think caregivers need more. And there's a couple of great organizations. Elizabeth Dole Foundation, Stephen Schwab there does a great job, and they are fantastic. The Red Cross has a program called the Military Veteran Caregiver Network. And my friend Melissa Como runs that. She is a caregiver herself. And I'll tell you what, she is a force of nature. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of resources out there that people can go to. And our motto at America's Warrior Partnership is, together, we can do better. And I truly believe we can do better.
Yeah, I do too. I really, and I hope our listener, you know, if we're talking to one person right now and they're listening to this and it hits them right in the feels, then I would definitely check out America's Warrior Partnership and just link up. If you're looking for any advice, if you're wanting to know who in your state would be good to link up with, I'm sure you know that Jim and the guys can point in the right direction. You're not only a member, Jim, you're the president.
I know. Exactly. I'm a member and I'm a president. And, you know, I laugh, Brad, that I said to someone, I said, I'm a vet, I'm a caregiver, I'm a spouse, and I'm a dad and a grandfather of a veteran. So my son serves, and my granddaughter's husband serves in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
My son serves in the Army. But it's a family business. And what you're seeing, Brad, when you look at recruiting numbers and those who are currently serving, 80% of those who are currently serving have a mother, father, sister, or a brother who serve. It's becoming a family business.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing that the majority of the people in the United States don't have a connection to anyone who served in the military, because unfortunately, I feel like we'll be taken for granted at some point.
So it's just like, you know, what do we do with recruiting? Then we need to just have more people, maybe someone listening, just reach out and talk to their local National Guard recruiter or even like a reserve recruiter. You don't have to do it 24/7 unless you want to go 24/7 or you get activated. All right, let's be real. 2 weekends a month, 1 week a year kind of thing.
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's not anymore.
No. My friend had a sign in the first Iraq wave, like OEF one or OIF one, and it had a, he had a sign that said 1 week in a month, my ass. And it was on, it was on CNN because it was in the window of his like truck.
No, that's exactly it. You know, we've put so much of a burden on our Garden Reserve. Yeah. Let's go back to caregivers if we're going to talk honestly about it.
Yeah.
A guardsman and a reservist who didn't get federally activated for more than 180 days,
are
the
not.
VA doesn't count them as a vet.
Right. And I tell my guys that all the time.
It's crazy.
I say, make sure you get active duty. Make sure you get some active duty days. Make sure you go to do some training.
Yeah. When I was at SOCOM, when I was at the Care Coalition and I realized how different, and I have to tell you that it came actually when I was on active duty and I had buddies of mine who were Guard Reserve. We were all together and they, you know, a couple of them got really badly wounded and they went home to a different world than active duty did. And I used to say to people, what do you join the Guard for? You have to get active duty time so that you're eligible for VA benefits regardless of what happened.
And it's true.
And that goes to caregivers too. These caregivers who have National Guard, you know, your dad was SF.
So he was 24/7 active ARG, like active guard ready, you know. Right.
Let me give you an example. Yeah. Right now, let me give you, it's not back to your dad's age, but since the mid-2000s, Special Forces said, hey, we've got this program called 18 X-Ray. If you're old enough with some college education, you can enlist directly in. And if you can make it through the assessment selection and Q course, you can be a Green Beret. And so
as your MOS, you straight up start as that. That's what it is.
Straight up start as that. And you can do that through the National Guard.
Right. All right.
So I go through that whole process. By the way, that 2 years of training that I could have gone through as a medic in SF as a National Guardsman doesn't count towards any active duty time. Number one.
What?
No, doesn't count. It's called training.
What? That doesn't count?
No. So then you go in here, follow this train. Go into the Special Forces and you're in and I've got a buddy up in Boston who's a guardsman up there. And they respond to national disasters. They do a lot of other things. They deploy to foreign internal defense missions that might be 30 days long, right? Doesn't count as active duty. You could do your whole career, 20 years, responding to every national emergency, every call, deployed overseas to places that you are in harm's way as a guardsman, and you're still not considered a vet.
I would almost think that if you sleep over, it's active duty.
I agree.
I'm like, if you're putting me up overnight, we're counting that 24-hour period, bro.
We need to rethink. I think the nation, with our dependence on the National Guard and Reserve, need to rethink.
Correct.
What do we consider having served and not? And then this is the other travesty that we found in our suicide study. Is that the VA doesn't count Guard and Reserve. So if you died, if you took your life between drills, you're not you're actually considered a veteran, but the VA is not going to count you. And DOD will count you, but only if you're on orders while it happens. So anyway, the point is we need to remove all the ambiguity of do I count or not?
Right.
And get rid of it. And
say, right, that's what I agree.
Yeah, to me, if you raise your hand and you swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and you didn't get discharged dishonorably, guess what? You're a vet.
Right.
You served. Now let's take care of you.
Let's go.
And
let's go.
And to the point of the recruiting, you know, the recruiting crisis, everyone says, oh, the recruiting crisis is marketing. And no, it's not. It's service. If you went to a McDonald's and got a shitty hamburger, right? Would you go back to that McDonald's? No. Right? Let's do this. If you ordered from Amazon and a third party filled it and the third party wronged you, would you go back to Amazon? No. So anyways, the point is, I think if we want to increase our recruitment of this all-volunteer force, because Rad, I'll tell you, this nation is not ready for a draft. But if you went back to an all-volunteer, to sustain our all-volunteer force, the first thing that we have to do is make the best recruiter for the Department of Defense, who is the VA, better.
Yes. Agreed.
Right?
Yeah, otherwise, every single mom and pop is going to, in high school USA, is going to lose their entire football team to conscription.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And if and they're not going to the NFL. It's conscription. No. It's draft. Yeah. Okay, because yeah.
Well,
I'm going to point that out right now.
It would never get to that. I don't think the American people would tolerate it. But and I have to tell you, and I've talked to older vets who were Vietnam era vets, and my opinion is I would never want a conscripted force in combat. I would rather, much rather have, instead of 100 conscripted, I'd rather have 10 volunteers.
Dude, yeah. Any can't day. Force patriotism. You just can't force it.
But you got to do what's right. You got to do right for them, by them.
You got to do right. You got to be son of Uhtred as you cross through all of the plains of England and create one England and one America. You know, I don't know if you've seen that show, but you should shout out to Uhtred on Netflix. Okay. I think it's Netflix. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I mean, we got to do a better job. And, you know, since this is the month of the caregiver, you know, you got to do a better job of caregiving.
Agreed. And that goes to the VA being the caregiver as well, to the actual caregivers who are giving care.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
It's a very sensitive subject to me because my grandfather was World War II vet, very VA stricken, had to go there a lot, you know, passed away there in the VA on Christmas Day. And then my father, you know, I was in the ward with them when they were like calling them Viets, and then they had the WWs, and then they had the deserts. And I was like, what are you saying? And these were nurses. And I was like, what are you saying right here? And I'm standing at the desk like, what are you talking about, my dad calling him a what? Oh, he's a Viet. And we just shorten everything for the WWs because that's who's going next. And I was like, you know, I'm the son of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're talking like this in front of me? It's almost like the dog tags of Saving Private Ryan in front of the whole other unit as they're just tossing them, looking for their guy. They're like, they just forgot for a moment, like, oh.
Yeah, no, you can't depersonalize it. Everybody, you know, America's Warrior Partnership, our model is, I truly believe, I think every veteran in the United States should be known. And when you think that there's something like 17.8 million veterans in the United States, and we only serve, and there's only 8 to 9 million enrolled in the VA,
right?
We're missing another 8. Where are they?
Right, right. Why aren't they? Right.
Why aren't they, and where are they?
You know, Dr. Stone kind of elaborated. He said the same kind of numbers and stats. He said that, you know, those are the youngers who just think that they don't need to go to the VA because they've been through something. But they're still prideful about walking down that mile-long hallway to get checked out by a VA doc. Then they get older, and then they realize the VA needs to see them. And then now they have to have their caregiver walk them down that mile-long.
No. Before they do that, Rad, they have to prove
that
they had a disability,
right?
Which 10 years later is near impossible.
But he was just playing with uranium-depleted shells, loading them into a tank during Desert Storm, Doctor.
Doesn't matter. It may not even, you know, they're going to say it's not service-connected.
But I mean, you know.
It was the plastic bottle you drank out of.
Right. It was only them dropping them out of an airplane. Wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But the point, to your viewers, anybody who's watching who's a young post-9/11 vet, if you haven't enrolled in the VA for whatever the reason is, it doesn't get easier with time.
That's right.
It doesn't. Every day that goes by makes it harder for you, and don't do it. Just go ahead and enroll. You never have to go, ever have to go.
Right.
You've earned it, but it's there as a safety net. Go enroll.
Call them.
It's easy. Call
yes.
them.
Talk
Get
to someone, say, hey, I served, and they'll say, what's your social security number? And then I bet you just go right down the hill right there, and they'll point you in the right direction. You just got to follow through, just like you did when you joined, and you went through all your stuff, and you followed through. So my listener out there, you just got to follow through. You just got to do it. Mm-hmm. You have to do it. And when my dad wasn't able to do it, my mom was doing it. And so I learned all of these things that you can get elevators for disabled loved ones that are 100% rated. You can get, you know, recreational therapy for somebody who needs to go out and be in the mountains and have that prescribed. You just got to ask the VA about it.
You're right. You're right. And like I said, in all the states have a state director. Most states have county veteran service officers. They're there to advocate for you. Again, I'm going to do a pitch for America's Warrior Partnership.
Heck
if you don't get satisfaction, contact us and we'll advocate on your behalf. So,
because not only is he a member, he's the president.
That's right.
That's right. Love it. I love it.
It works so well that I didn't buy the company. We founded it. But because
I love it.
You know, we got started, Rad. And when I moved up from SOCOM up to Augusta, Georgia, I thought we founded a local program and we got lucky because one of the jobs that we had was doing homeless vets. And we focused on it. It was a big issue back in the early 2010, 2011. And when I came here in Augusta, they had 159 homeless veterans by their official count. And we went military on them and said, okay, number one, let's go find them all. And the team looked at me and said, what do you mean find them all? I said, go find them all. Go find them. Build a relationship with them. Understand who they are. And then let's connect them to the services that exist to improve their quality of life. And then let's stick with them until they get taken care of. Well, in 18 months, we went from 159 down to 7.
That's great.
And the point is...
It's huge.
The point is that communities can do this. Everybody can do this. You just have to focus. And let's roll it back to the VA. We have to think differently. To your point about the long corridors, that's resonating with me for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, I worked in a hospital and I've been medically based. Long corridors are ancient times. That's old medicine, in my opinion. Look at the new hospitals today. There are no long corridors. You go to Cleveland Clinic, customer service is their focus. They get you through. They get you focused. They get you in. And it's a positive experience to a negative position that you're in. We have to think differently. We have to look at things differently and approach it differently. I'm sure Dr. Stone felt the same way.
Yes.
He's a smart guy.
And he's great. You know, he's going to go teach recreational surfing. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
So we were talking about snowboarding because I snowboard a lot and he skis and he's like, oh, hey. And, you know, when you're general dude, sir, you know, it's like, let's go hit the surf. I was talking about surfing and he's like, well, that's something I'm actually taking a bunch of veterans to the West Coast and I'm going to teach them how to surf. And I was like, why did you get out of the position? Hopefully your predecessor, the guy in charge right now is watching us, is what I said. And he's going to implement surfing. Because I think that might make you smile. If you think about going up on the mountain right now, if you think about something you love to do, if you love to scuba dive and you're missing your legs, you can still scuba dive. Okay.
Yep.
And it can be weightless and you can be down there and you can float and you can still be just with the fish and all the things you love. And you'll just forget about everything and just be weightless. And that goes for a lot of people. Scuba diving is huge, you know, because now you're I got to live. You're like, what about my problems? Oh, I got to live. I got to breathe. I got to live.
You know, I'll tell you, at the end of the month, we've got a supporter. There's a sailing race at the end that's Memorial Day every year. And it's up, there's a race. It's from Hyannis, Mass to Nantucket. A few years ago, a guy reached out to me. He said, hey, I've got a bunch of vets that are coming, but I want America's Warrior Partnership to be the part of this.
Right.
The boat that he has is called Defender. His name's Chris Christian. He's a great guy. As a former 82nd Airborne guy. But anyway, so what we do, and I'll go up there, this will be my third year, We go up and we bring a bunch of vets. We put them on other people's boats, and they not just sail, but they race from Hyannis to Nantucket. It is a, what they get out of it is team building.
Completely.
My team, I said to my team this, as a matter of fact, I said it to him yesterday. You know, we have a lot going on. I said, I'm not sure I'm going to, I think I'm going to shorten the trip. And they looked at me and they said, no. You have to go. That is your, this where you get relief. You come back a changed person. You need to go do this, not for work, but for yourself. And to your point, I agree. Whether you're up on the mountain or whether you're surfing or whether you're sailing or whether you're playing golf or whatever you're doing,
they gold give cannon. You. I love to do it. I just want to put it out there. But it's really, you're in the river. So.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, one of at America's Warrior Partnership, we look at 8 things that contribute to quality of life. And spiritual is one of them. Housing, employment, education, blah, blah, blah. One of them is recreation. Mm-hmm. And everyone pushed back on me and they said, why do you have that in your wheel of quality of life? I said, because if you're not doing something that you love, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? And so
what are you doing it for? Yeah.
And what are you doing it for? And I think so let's go back to caregivers.
Yep.
In the caregiver world, there are a lot of programs for caregivers. One of the things that the caregiver program gives to families is respite care. So where you where the person giving the care, somebody will come in and take care of your loved one for a period of time so you can go have a breather. Or else it's 24/7.
I was a respite caregiver, you know. Yeah. Respite.
No, I hear you.
That's a vibe.
That's awesome. I agree.
So much in common. I just, except, you know, you went on to be Lieutenant Colonel. No, I think that you're fabulous.
No.
And what I'd like to do is keep you in my Rolodex of having you back on the show and talking to you about you and finding out how maybe your trip went or other positive things that you want to put out there, things that you might find out with the VA. You're like, hey, Rad, you know, let's link up again and let me get my message out. And, you know, if you ever have a book that you've written. But again, America's Warrior Partnership is what's going on right now. And to my listener, just check that out. Get involved with what Jim Lorraine has put together based off of just experience and empathy and trying to get it done for himself and his loved one, right? Yeah. Caregiver loving, you're loving. That's just it. Empathy, you know, and if you're a caregiver out there, don't give up. Don't give up hope. You know, you can reach out to me at RadRockin on Instagram if you feel like you're down and out and you want to say hi. It's not the first time I've had somebody reach out to me and do that. My wife's like, who are you talking to at 2 in the morning?
Oh,
I'm
wow.
like, so I'm just having a hard day, you know. And
but Rad, you got to take care of yourself too.
Well, it's really, you know, again, I blame my mom.
Don't blame your mom.
Yeah, I love her. And it's Mother's Day time. Yeah. So even though this will air a little bit, we love our mom. So make sure if she's around and you love her, tell her hi. And to all of those you out there, those women, mothers who were in our military that served and endured pregnancy under a chain of command and had to deal with all of that. And, you know, thank you from the bottom of my heart and all of us here at SoftRep. And I'm sure my boss, Brandon Webb, would thank his mom publicly. So what's up? Thanks, Mom. Mom's rock. Jim, do you have any last final things you'd like to say?
No, I just want to say thank you and happy Mother's Day, but I want to say thank you to you and your viewers. If, again, you're not alone, there's somebody who always has your back. And if you need help, contact somebody and you can contact America's Warrior Partnership and we're happy to help.
Well, we will end on that positive note
That sounds good.
And I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. And again, if you're listening to this far into the podcast, thank you to my listener. Check out our merch store at softrep.com. Go buy a mug, buy a shirt, go check it out, and check out America's Warrior Partnership by my friend here, Jim Lorraine. All right, and with that, I'm going to say peace.
Thanks. Take care.
You've been listening to SoftRep Radio.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s. Dance away with hip-hop beats and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.